This episode of the Real Fit Podcast is brought to you by the Real Nourished newsletter. Real Nourished, reinventing your relationship with food, is for you if you are ready to stop micromanaging your food and exercise so you can start fully showing up to your life. Each biweekly issue features evidence-based tools that will help reduce your food-related anxiety, improve your body image, and help you embrace exercise as a form of nourishment, not punishment. When you subscribe, you'll get my free guide, 11 things you can do right now to feel better about your body. To get in on it, just click on the link in the show notes or visit my website, pam-moore.com. Hi, and welcome to the Real Fit Podcast. This is your host, Pam Moore, and this is a show featuring conversations with women athletes about body image, confidence, enoughness, and so much more. Today, I'm doing a quick solo episode. I'm not interviewing somebody. I want to talk about the concept of joyful movement, which I already talked about in episode 38. I talked a little bit about what it is and why you would want to do it. If you haven't listened yet, you might want to stop now, go back and listen to 38 and come back to this. Or maybe you just want to dive in. I'm recording this on Sunday, July 24th, and yesterday I did the Bob Cook Memorial Mount Evans Hill Climb here in Colorado. And what that is you start in Idaho Springs, Colorado. It's a tiny little town, and you ride your road bike up Mount Evans, which is, so you start around 8,000 feet, you climb up to 14,130 feet, to be quite precise. So you're doing 6,000 feet of climbing over about 27 miles, and a lot of that is done at very, very high altitude, and it's terrible. It's so hard, and I loved it. I loved it so much. It was my second time actually doing it. The first time I did it was 2010, and just enough time has gone by, 12 years, that I forgot exactly how hard it was and thought, that'd be fun. And even though a lot of it was awful, I really, truly loved it. And I've been thinking about a lot about that. Like, why would I love something that hurts? What is that? This was my idea of a really, really fun day. That brought me back to the idea of, okay, well, then what is joyful movement? What about this crazy race was actually joyful to me? And I thought maybe if I could share with you what made it joyful to me, whether or not you want to do a ridiculous hill climb on your bike, like maybe you want to do yoga, maybe you want to try Pilates, maybe you want to go for a 20-minute walk. What is it about joyful movement that all of those things might have in common? And so I want to break it down. First of all, joyful movement isn't about the movement itself. It's about the attitude that you bring to the movement. And the attitude that I brought was an attitude of gratitude. I was just so excited that I live in this amazing place where it only takes me about an hour to get to the start line of this race. I was grateful that I had the time and the space to do it. I was grateful that my body is strong and healthy enough to be able to do this kind of thing. And I was grateful that I've had the time to get on my bike enough that I knew that I could probably do it. Like, it might not be pretty, but I knew I could do it. And I had the attitude of curiosity. Like, yes, I had the goal of going as fast as I could, but I wasn't out to beat anybody, and I wasn't out to beat myself up if I wasn't faster than I was 12 years ago. A lot has changed for me since then. Yes, I have way more experience now than I did then. I, in particular, have more experience weightlifting, but back then I had a lot fewer commitments. I was a newlywed with a lot of time to train. I had been following a detailed prescribed training plan from a coach. I was in incredible shape at that time. I didn't know what kind of shape I was in now. Spoiler alert, I'm in better shape, it turns out, which is awesome. But I honestly don't think I would have cared if I wasn't. I was a lot faster this time, but it was just kind of a curiosity thing. I was just curious to test my limits and see where I was at. Also, I wanted to experience that feeling of testing my limits. I love that feeling. That makes me feel super, super, super alive, knowing that whatever I did, I gave it every single thing that I had. I wanted to find that feeling. And so that was the attitude that I brought to this race. Joyful movement doesn't have to be goal-oriented. However, it certainly can be. I think there might be a misconception that if you have some type of goal in mind, that it can't be joyful. I would disagree with that because for me, the goal is a means to an end. The end is feeling good, feeling joy, finding a way to celebrate my body and everything that it can do. Can I experience those things without a goal? Yes, absolutely. For me, the question is, will I? I highly recommend the book, The Four Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin. It's all about how we develop habits based on our personality. And she divides people into four basic types of personalities when it comes to forming habits. I fall into the category of obliger, which she says most people are. What that means is if I have a commitment to somebody else, then I'm going to follow through on that commitment. For me, that might start with the something else or the somebody else is paying the money and registering for an event or a race. Then working backwards from that, what I have to do is I have to train. And then because I have to train, oftentimes I'm going to make plans. Either I'm going to show up for group rides with my bike team, or I'm going to reach out to a friend and see if they want to go with me. Having that level of external accountability gets me to get out and do the things that really make me happy and make me feel good in my body, even if I wasn't in the mood to do it in the first place. And that's all because I'm an obliger. I struggle, I think like a lot of people, with inertia. Even though I know I'm going to feel good once I get on my bike or once I'm done with the bike ride, I'm also oftentimes really comfortable right where I am. I'm also maybe looking at my to-do list, which is a mile long, and thinking, I don't have time to go do that frivolous bike ride, but I know it's going to be good for me. So being an obliger, making the plan to do it, oftentimes with somebody else, that's what gets me out the door. And that's what gives me the opportunity. Hey, it's Pam with a quick interruption. If you are ready to heal your relationship with food, exercise, your body, if you're ready to stop stressing about the scale, if you're ready to stop trying to shrink your body and have a much, much, much bigger life where you can really be present, I can help you. I am an intuitive eating coach with a background of over 10 years as an occupational therapist. I've also done health and fitness writing for publications including The Washington Post, Self, Runner's World, Bicycling, Outside, The Guardian, Time. And I have also, as you probably know, been on my own journey to heal my relationship with food and body image. If you want to know more about how I can help, check out my website. I'm at pam-more.com. You can also just scroll down in the show notes. There's a link there. Also, I talk about all this stuff in my bi-weekly newsletter. If you're not already a subscriber, scroll on down in the show notes. Just click on the link to sign up. When you do, you'll get my free download, 11 things you can do right now to feel better about your body. Here's a perfect example. Ever since I did Mount Evans in 2010 with a friend, I've wanted to do it again. It hasn't been a real possibility until the last few years because it just felt like too much when my kids were little. All last summer, I kept thinking I wanted to do it, but I never took the initiative to select a date, to invite anybody, and figure out exactly when and how this was going to happen. And then guess what happened? Fall came and it got too cold and that was it. I never did it. So now again, I was like, oh, I should organize some women, get some friends, do this maybe in August or September. Was I going to do it? I don't know. Maybe like last summer I wasn't going to. But this week, a friend of mine reached out and said, hey, I'm going to do it. You want to do it? And that's all it took. I was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's carpool. I signed up like a day before the deadline. So that's number one. You know, whether the joyful movement that you do, whether it has a goal or it doesn't have a goal, either way is fine. It's what attitude are you bringing to the activity? Are you bringing an attitude of gratitude, of excitement, of joy? What are you hoping to get out of it besides the performance goal? That's sort of, for me, like I said, that's a means to an end. It's really, why are you here? Why are you doing this? What's your perspective on it? Number two, joyful movement should be nourishing you, and not just your body, but your soul and your heart. What is it giving you that you might not be able to get elsewhere, or that maybe you could get elsewhere, but that this is just a nice way to package it all together to have a mind, body, spirit experience? This hill climb gave me the opportunity to experience a whole bunch of things that I wouldn't have otherwise, including being in nature, which always makes me feel good, being in community, I'm an extrovert. I get energy from being around other people. Just knowing that I was in this community of other cyclists, no matter what pace we were at, whether I was passing people or they were passing me, or I was like riding with somebody and chit-chatting for a couple minutes, all of those things, that collective energy, that gives me such a boost. I thrive on that. Also, the discomfort of it is kind of appealing to me. When I am in that zone of comfortably hard or even uncomfortably hard, I have no choice but to be in my body. I can't really be thinking about all of the things on my to-do list. I can't be worried about all the unfinished projects that I have going on. I'm just thinking about the present moment, and I'm just so in my body. I'm thinking about my breathing. I'm feeling my legs, and I'm noticing things, and I'm not judging them. Like, at the beginning of the ride, I noticed that my inner thighs felt really tight, and it was an opportunity to practice this skill that I've actually been working a lot on in therapy, which is noticing without judging. So instead of going, oh God, my inner thighs hurt, and I'm only a half an hour into this thing that's going to probably take me 4 hours. What does this mean? Am I going to make it to the top? Oh my God, what if this is like bad on my knees? What if? There were no what ifs. It was just like, my inner thighs hurt. Okay. Observe it. Get curious about it. What could this be from? Well, maybe because I did a hard bike ride a few days before and I wasn't fully recovered. Maybe because this was a sustained climb and all of my leg muscles, including my inner thigh muscles, were being recruited. Who knows? Just being curious and noticing it. And also having the opportunity to say, this is long enough of a climb that it probably won't feel like this forever. This might pass. And I mean, and part of that is a function of experience. I've done enough of these type of things to know things change. They can always get better. Of course, they can always get worse, but usually they get better. And that's kind of a metaphor for life. You know, sports give me that opportunity to practice my life skills of just going, okay, this sucks right now, but I don't have to worry about what it means for later. The other thing that this hill climb gave me was the opportunity to feel incredibly good after it was done. To be honest, I felt really good up and through probably the first 20 miles, 22 miles. And then at that point, the road is really exposed. There were sections where it was really, really windy. You're way, way, way above tree line. The road had all kinds of terrible seams in it. So you're going like ka-junk, ka-junk, ka-junk every like 10 seconds. My hope had been that I had saved enough energy earlier in the ride that I would have enough to kind of push and give it a final kick at the end, which it turned out I did not have. All I had was the energy to keep going forward. I wasn't even thinking about how I was going to feel after. I was just kind of focused on, okay, the next turn in the road, the next rock, the next one, just get to the next, any landmark I could focus on, just get to the next one. But when I crossed the finish line, my friend was there. She took a few pictures of me. She congratulated me. She's like, do you want me to take your bike? And I was like, no. I got off my bike. I was like, I just need to lean on it. I literally said to her, I just need to die for a minute. But as soon as I was done dying, that was probably like a 90-second process, I was so happy. I had this huge grin on my face and I was just like, all right, I'm ready. I want to go to the bathroom. I want to put on my leg warmers. I want to put on my ear warmers. I just want to like soak in the views. I want to eat a snack. I want to be up here at 14,000 feet with all these other dozens of people that are doing the same thing that I am, that are also feeling so strong and so celebratory. It just felt so good. So having the opportunity to feel good after, that's what's known as, I believe, type 2 fun. It's the kind of fun that might not always be fun while you're doing it, but it's fun after. To me, that's a form of joyful movement. It doesn't necessarily have to feel amazing while you're doing it. And like I said, there were certainly parts of it where I really did feel amazing. And even the parts where I didn't feel amazing, the views were incredible. And I just had so much gratitude for what my body could do. And that's a segue to the final thing I want to talk about is the spirit of joyful movement. As I said, it's an attitude and it's about celebrating your body. It's not about punishing your body. That whole ride to me was a celebration of the fact that I am here with this capable body that can do these things. It wasn't a punishment for the way my body looked. It wasn't an attempt to burn calories. And because I had no agenda of burning calories, I was able to tune into, what do I need to eat the night before? What do I need to eat the morning of? What do I need to eat during the race. There's certainly been times in my life where I would drink these calorie-free electrolyte drinks that kind of have a bad aftertaste, but I would drink those thinking that I was saving, you know, getting the electrolytes, but saving on calories, and I'd eat some gels, and sometimes I wouldn't feel good. And it's hard to know why you don't feel good. Sometimes you're just not that fit, or it's just not your day, or you're just not that rested. But I drink my electrolyte drink that has calories along with a gel every half an hour. If I had had my eye on burning calories, I would have been going, wait a minute, what's the point of eating this? Like, the point is to burn calories, not to take in calories. But that wasn't the point. The point was to do something hard and to feel as good as possible, to feel as energized as possible the whole time. So all I was really thinking about was performance. I was not thinking about the shape or size or the weight of my body. I wasn't thinking about calories. I mean, yeah, I was thinking about calories as a unit of energy, and I was expending a lot of energy. So I needed the energy. It was just a simple math problem. So again, whether we're talking about the Mount Evans hill climb, whether we're talking about a Nia class, a dance class, body pump, a jog around the block, it doesn't matter what the activity is. Joyful movement is a spirit and an attitude. It's about what you want to get out of the activity. How is it going to fill your cup? Finally, joyful movement, whatever you're doing, should feel like a celebration of your body, not a punishment. It's not to shrink yourself. It's not to try to conform to society's idea of what you're supposed to look like. It's about making your life bigger instead of trying to make your body smaller. I hope you enjoyed this. Heads up, I have some really cool interviews I'm going to release in the coming weeks, including Rabbi Jessica Kessler Marshall, Tanika Duhaney, and Marley Blonsky, who is the founder of All Bodies on Bikes. I'm so pumped to share those with you. If you're not already subscribed, go ahead and do that, and then you won't miss them. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Real Fit. If you like what you're hearing, I would appreciate it so much if you haven't already. Rate this podcast, review it, subscribe, and tell a friend. That helps me spread the message that you are already enough. If you're not already on my email list, please consider this my personal invitation. You're invited to join my email list. When you join, you're going to get a free gift. It is my guide called 11 Things You Can Do Right Now to Feel Better in Your Body. You'll also get exclusive subscriber-only content in your email. You can find that link in the show notes, or you can visit my website, pam-more.com. If you're ready to stop obsessing about exercise, food, and the shape and size of your body, and you want to start living your life in a way that is truly aligned with your values, I can help. I'm a weight-neutral health coach with a background as an occupational therapist and as a certified personal trainer. To learn more about how I can help you through one-on-one coaching, visit pam-more.com. You can also find that link in the show notes. And if you have anything you want to tell me about this podcast, if there are topics you don't want to hear any more about, questions that you have, topics you do want to hear more about, let me know. Send your emails to me at pam@pam-more.com. I'm also on Instagram at pammore303 and on Twitter at pammorewriter. Again, thank you so much for listening. With much gratitude. Until next time, keep it real.